As long as I can remember, we'd been waiting for the Messiah to come to us. It had just always been that way. I mean, I always knew he would come, but let's face it, it's not like I'm from Jerusalem or any place special like that. I mean, I'm just a girl, a nobody from Nazareth. I thought for sure that angel had come to the wrong house with his announcement. But if that's what God wanted, then who was I to tell them he was wrong? And Joseph, oh, God bless that man. He could have joined in with everyone else. He could have sent me away. He could have even had me killed. But he never broke his promise to marry me. So when he set out to Bethlehem for the census, I was honored to be by his side, even with heartburn, bloated cankles, and 9 months of pregnancy behind me. You know those pregnant women who try to induce their labor by taking long walks or eating spicy foods? What they really should do is take a bumpy 70-mile trip to Bethlehem. Because not long after I arrived, and well, I had never done this myself, but it was time. With each wave of pain, I tried to ignore that I would be having a baby without my family there to help me, without the familiarity of home. But when Jesus was born, I forgot all that. We wrapped him in cloths and we made him a bed with anything we had, and it was an animal's feeding trough. Joseph said I should have been sleeping by then, but I couldn't help it. I just kept staring at him. I mean, there he was, the one the angel had told me about. My heart was so full. I didn't have words big enough to explain how I felt. I know that I wasn't the first young woman to bring a child into this world. It's always been that way. But as I look down at my son, my Redeemer, I knew he would be the one to change everything, because he'd already changed me.
Thank you. If you'd like to follow along, let's take a look into God's Word. We're going to look at Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38 first, beginning with Luke chapter 1, verse 26 and following. I'm going to ask you three questions before we move from the next slide. And this will be an interactive approach. We'll handle each slide with these three questions. So let's take a look at God's Word. And first, let's read together from God's Word, Luke chapter 1, verses 26 and following. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at these words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. So the first question is, what do we learn about Mary? Let's just take a look. What do you, from just kind of scanning those verses, what do you learn about Mary? Okay.
She
She what? She was promised to be married. Okay? She was descendant of David. This promise that you alluded to is much more than our idea of engagement. It was actually a legal issue. Okay? Any other thoughts here? What do you know? What do you find out about Mary in these words? She was highly favored. Very innocent. The Lord was with her. She was troubled. Remember, when we looked at Joseph, we looked at the idea that this was a troubled fiancé. Well, it went both ways on this. It was a troubling thing, a difficult thing. What do you see about Mary's God in these verses? With her.
God sent an angel to birth. I'm sure he could have done it another way. I mean, he could have just had her being a child, but it was a visual sign to her.
A specific time.
He assured her that she was highly favored by God.
Okay. This is how God looks at people. I don't know if you can take that in today. You are highly favored. What can we learn from this story? I suggested one thing. You are highly favored. What could we learn for our own lives from what you see so far? With God, anything is possible. That's good to hear. God has a plan. To keep our eyes open.
We never know how he's going to make his plan.
Okay. Because sometimes things that we're asked to do are tough. This was certainly the case for her. Let's take a look at the next. Would you read along with me? But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." What do we learn about Mary from these verses? She was afraid. And who wouldn't be? Being asked to do something huge.
Something very visible.
Being asked to do something very strange. Scary. Just going to ask, what is it about this that is difficult? What a strange. It was scandalous. Could you repeat that? She was chosen. But willing. Available. What an amazing thing. You know, when you think about Mary waiting. She was in a long line of waiters. People throughout her history and the people of Israel were waiting for the Messiah to come. We have such a hard time waiting, you know, just for that little white thing to pop out of the turkey. Things like that, simple things that toast to pop up, the coffee to finish. That's theoretical. Our computers to boot up. How many of you have used somebody else's computer and you think, oh, this is killing me. This is taking forever for this thing to boot.
At least
30 seconds. At least, yes. And here they have been, and Mary's in this long line, her grandparent, grandmother, her mother, and now Mary. They're all waiting. They've been waiting and waiting for the Savior to come. And then he comes. Waiting was part of the culture. Imagine waiting your whole life, knowing that all your ancestors had been waiting for this event of the ages to occur. And we struggle with waiting. I think Mary and the story can help us look, especially at this time, and be a little bit more patient about life. She was willing. There's this question, it's almost like, who me? You remember in the monologue where Verity talked about, I'm nobody special. But God chose her. And she said, may it happen to me as you have said. There's such willingness. And boy, was that a tough choice to make, to be devoted to this plan. Let's take another look at the next passage of Scripture. Would you read with me? And how shall this be, Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin? The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who is said to be barren is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God. "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Here we have such a serene determination on her part, her willingness. I don't know if you remember the old 80s Terminator movie. In the old 80s Terminator movie, Arnold Schwarzenegger, that was his first big break, you know, when he starred in that. And in it, Linda Hamilton, who plays Sarah Connor, is a young woman trying to make it on her own. And suddenly, a man from the future appears to her out of a very bright light and tells her that she's going to have this baby who's going to save the world from the machines. Do you remember her response? It was something like, "I can't even balance my checkbook. I don't want this." And Mary, her response is so different. "I'm here, and I'm available." She does ask the question, kind of, how is this possible? How can this be? But she moves on. Let's read together the next outpouring of Mary. "His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers." And it's here that you see this, I think, this serene acceptance of God's plan. In fact, this outpouring of praise. I somehow get to be a part of God's plan in this world. She was devoted. Devoted knowing that things would change with her husband. I don't know how the subject was broached. It probably Joseph said, "Say, I was talking to someone, you know, or I had a dream. Could it be?" I don't know how it came about, but there was this relationship that would probably change forever. You can imagine, at least in her thinking, it had the possibility of changing, and changing in a not so good way. Some of you have already mentioned that life would change and it would require her devotion, because there would be such social pressure toward her. Every person that she came into contact with, she would probably wonder if they think differently of her. And then there was having the baby. Again, in the monologue, it talked about no family, no friends. I had to do this by myself. It's very interesting. You look at the gospel accounts and there's nobody else around. It's Joseph and her. So she had to do something without the support of loved ones, people around her, the likes of which many of us do not. And then she was devoted, knowing the challenges of pregnancy and birth. What an amazing thing that is, a commitment. This is probably the toughest thing that a woman would have to do in her life, is to say yes to this. And if you question this at all, Carol Burnett has some sage advice for you. She said, "Men, if you want to feel or know what it feels like to have a baby, you grab your upper lip and you just pull it over your head like this. And now you will know the pain." But it's amazing. Can you imagine what goes into having a baby on your own We have today hundreds of books on birthing. We have these very nice places of which Janet works in that is so different. And here was this cradle there, a feeding trough for her newborn. And yet she says, I am the Lord's servant. And she turns right around and she walks bravely into what God had for her. And she gave us the wonderful gift of a Savior. This wasn't a person who, in ways today, proud ways today, you see people, you know, I've got a self-help DVD. You could catch that on my podcast. No, he stands as a grown man proclaiming some of the best stuff you could ever hear on the Sermon on the Mount. We spent a lot of time in the Sermon on the Mount as a group of people, and there is such wisdom that our Savior pours out there, such amazing insight that he pours out there about what it means to live as God's person in this world. That one birth changes everything. This simple yes to God's plan, and then that birth caused something to happen the likes of which humanity has not seen. Think about the kind of attention for centuries has centered around this unique child born to Mary. It is remarkable. It is the one that we now worship and serve. Mary's name has an interesting meaning. I don't know if you've looked up the words in you know, a baby book. Mary comes from a word that means bitterness. And she had to face such bitterness years later as she watched her own son die. She rejoiced in his coming and speaks of him now in the same words that the angel gave, Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. This Savior Mary embraced as her own Savior. She followed him, and she was there when she suffered this difficult thing to watch as he bled and died for her, her sin, and the sin of the whole world. She was submissive to the Holy Spirit. She just said yes. She bore this pain throughout life, I'm sure. I don't know what it is like to have suffered like she, but sometimes parents, you suffer as a parent. Understand that that Mary understood your kind of suffering, I think, in ways. And she found God to be adequate for what she suffered. And this is for us too. In our suffering, in our parenting, he's there with us as well. This wonderful seed promised to us in Jesus became ours because Mary said yes. I think she's one of the kinds of people that understood that pain is part of an integral part of life. She had no preconceptions, I think, about that. In one prophecy in Jesus' early life, as she took Jesus into the temple, Simeon said, "This child will be spoken against. A sword will pierce your own soul as well," talking about her pain in the loss of her son. And a realistic view of life says with Mary, there are times we go through great difficulty, and yet God is there. If he asks us to do something, he will provide for us and with us exactly what we need. Praise be to God. I'd like to invite our worship team to come forward as we close. Would you join me in a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you just now for your goodness to us, providing a Savior, and for these amazing examples of people who were just sold out to you. Mary said yes to you. Help us to say yes to you. When we struggle, when we are discouraged, when we experience pain in this life, do help us to remember this wonderful example that you've given us already, and do side with us in giving us what we need for the moment. Help us to trust you in deeper ways, we pray. Amen.